Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is just a taping. It's not an actual broadcast. It's a taping of a segment to be used on the Balanced Brickyard Weekend with a blogger from IBJ. Again, we are just waiting to tape a segment, so this will not be an actual broadcast. So it will be a taping of a segment that will take place in approximately 10 minutes. This is not an actual broadcast. We are taping a segment for the Balanced Radio Network on Saturday. Again, this is not a actual segment. We are standing by to start a taping. With Anthony Shuttle of the IBJ. We will begin that taping in approximately 10 minutes. This is a taping. This is not an actual broadcast.
Thank you.
up early this morning, and I'm already running late. There's a list of things long as my arm I won't get done. Started out summer fun, chasing Allie Brooke with a water gun. She'd laugh and she'd scream, she'd run and say, "You can't catch me." Well, time passed, I turned 16, cruising from the Sonic to the Dairy Queen, yeah. Running the roads, we ruled like kings.
This is not an actual broadcast. This is a taping. We are standing by to begin a taping segment for The Balance to air on Saturday morning. Again, this is a taping to be aired on the 28th Saturday morning.
The Declaration of Independence. Think I could tell you that first sentence, but then I'm lost. I can't begin to count the theories I've had pounded in my head that I forgot. I don't remember all that Spanish or the Gettysburg Address, but there is one speech from high school I'll never forget. Come on in, boys, sit on down and tell me about your on the farm, somebody with a truck and two strong arms, not scared of dirt and willing to work till the sun goes down. So I pulled up and said, "I'm your man, I can start right now." And we shook hands. He said, "The fence needs fixing, the peaches need picking, and the cows need..."
This is a taping segment with Anthony Shuttle, Tony Shuttle, IBJ. We're going to begin that taping in about 5 minutes.
Earnhardt sticker behind my head and my woman by my side. Tailpipes popping, the radio's rocking, country boy can't survive. Well, if you've got a problem with that, you can kiss my... Like a hammock on a summer day, tell you I'm gonna take your cares away. Yeah. You make me want to. You make me want to roll down the river and around the bend. Love you like a story with a happy end. Greasy ball cap, I like my shirt untucked. I spend Saturdays working on my truck. I don't like to fight, but I ain't scared to bleed. Most don't mess with a guy like... Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come our kinfolk in the moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them in the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Boys making noise, help.
rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die. I've got to learn that auction cry. Gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bid or now $30, $30, will you give me 30, make it 30 bid, mama, $30, will you give me 30, who would bid a $30 bid? $30 bid or now $35, will you give me 35 to make it 35 to bid a 35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest. He practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer.
All right, we're going to begin the taping here. We're going to dial in Anthony Shuttle of IBJ, the Indianapolis Business News. Indianapolis Business Journal. We're going to dial him in right now.
This is Anthony.
Hi, Anthony. This is Tom. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. I apologize if you didn't get my response on the email earlier today.
I did not. I was been away from my email here for a little while.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just going to say I would call you at this time, but I kept getting that bounce back. It may have been on my server or the browser that I was using. So I'm glad that we're get to go here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the taping. I'm just going to come back like from a break because that's what we'll do, and then I'll just go into it as if it's a segment that'll be played on Saturday morning. Does that sound good? All right.
Yeah,
give
awesome.
Me just 1 second. All right. All right, my minions, welcome back to the Brickyard 400 special. We do this every year, and we talk racing. Well, we talk racing all year long, and we do the first hour. But for this 2 hours, we're going to do nothing but talk Brickyard, and it's that time again where the Brickyard 400 comes back to Indianapolis. And, of course, practice is underway right now out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And we'll know soon the qualifying order and the Crown Royal. Well, name your hero, and we know who that would be for the Brickyard 400. Well, joining me also now is a guest that I enjoy talking with from the Indianapolis Business Journal or the IBJ.com, as you might know him, Anthony Shuttle. Anthony, did I say your last name right?
Shuttle.
Shuttle, I apologize. Well,
that's all right.
I mispronounce almost every race car driver out there too, so it's all good. And I brought you on because Anthony, we call you Tony, or we call you Anthony.
Either way is fine.
Okay. Well, we brought Anthony on. Obviously, you know him from the score on the IBJ.com, and I wanted to talk with you. Obviously, with IBJ, people relate to the economic impact and the economic factors that apply to Indianapolis. And I know that's not all that you do with this score, but you certainly do that. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about with especially one race that I think that it would impact the most, and that's lights being put on out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. As we know, some of the proposed changes that are being made out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and they want to make more than $100 million worth of improvements to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And here recently, they were approved by the House to be able to collect some tax money, the way that I understand it. So perhaps you can walk us through what that means and what does is lights a reality, and is there a real economic impact to lights being out put out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Because you'll have those that say, you know, tradition is everything, and to have lights out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway really takes away from the tradition and the history and what Indianapolis is.
The first thing you have to say about tradition out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is that it's not as profitable as it used to be. Remember when the Brickyard 400 came to Indianapolis in 1994, it drew enormous crowds, 300,000 per. And it basically was the funding mechanism that launched the IndyCar Series, or the Indy Racing League as it was known then. And all of those profits basically supported and propped up the IndyCar Series for many, many years. But as time went by, the crowd out there began to erode. And then the car tomorrow really did the Brickyard 400 no favors, because really the race became one big processional. There wasn't a lot of passing out there, and there wasn't a lot of excitement. And then came along the tire fiasco a few years ago, and the bottom really fell out of the race. And NASCAR officials will even admit that at this point, that the car tomorrow was kind of an unmitigated disaster out there. And so as a result, the crowd really was halved, and then it went even lower than that. And this year, I suspect there will be 100,000 or so out there. And as you know, the car tomorrow is gone, and they brought in the new Gen 6 car. And NASCAR officials are promising that the racing is going to be more like it was in 94. So tradition isn't as profitable as it used to be. So what this has caused the Indianapolis Motor Speedway officials to do is to rethink everything. Now, remember, 2 years ago, for the very first time, they began to put advertisements on the walls at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, something common, you know, NASCAR fans have seen, you know, everywhere from coast to coast in the Deep South for sure for years and years. But at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this was all new 2 years ago. And the first time that I ever heard the lights mentioned was when Jeff Belskis replaced Tony George a few years ago as CEO of the track. And he kind of mentioned that in a small meeting with two or three local Indianapolis reporters. And it was kind of a stunner then. But gradually over time, he has mentioned that here and there. And then when I sat down with New Holman & Company CEO Mark Miles earlier this year, back in January, he had made that one of his top priorities. And he made it clear to me in a one-on-one interview that lights was something he was already giving serious consideration about, that something needed to be done to seriously reverse the attendance decline at the Brickyard 400. And a lot of people think a night race will help not only the live attendance greatly, you know, heat has been a big problem out there for a number of years, but also it will rejuvenate the TV ratings, making it a primetime night race. Now, the Speedway Police Department, the Indianapolis Police Department, they have some concerns with security with a race ending at,
sure,
you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And there's going to be some additional costs for sure. And remember, that 2.5-mile oval is enormous out there. It's not an everyday track. So that's going to be an eight-figure project. That's going to be a lights out there is going to be along the lines of $10 million to $20 million in infrastructure, depending on how they set it up. But it is doable. They've got the money coming in. And I think Mark Miles has made the commitment. I think lights are going to be installed. It's just a matter of when. And I would say probably within the next 2 to 3 years for sure. And probably, I think, from talking to NASCAR officials, they're supportive of moving the Brickyard to a primetime night race very soon.
Well, and I think that's almost something that they have to do, and I think a lot of NASCAR fans like that. I mean, of course, there's a lot of night races in certainly more than the IndyCar circuit, and I think that would be something that would be a draw to them. And of course, IMS has their new president out there, Doug Bowles, and of course, he was very much involved in a lot of this stuff going on and planning and so forth. But no bones about it, Indianapolis Motor Speedway adds hundreds of millions of dollars to the economic impact of Indiana and, of course, Indianapolis and the town of Speedway. So, you know, security be what it might be, if that brings more people to Indianapolis, and, you know, a lot of people don't like the travel time in the night stuff, I get that, but don't you believe that putting lights out there and moving the Brickyard to a night race, a night primetime race, would make a huge economic impact to the community?
Well, the hotels love it. The hotels absolutely,
sure,
positively love it, because remember, downtown hotels in Indianapolis, the occupancy goes through the roof when there's a night event. And so when you have people coming in and they're going to be getting done with the race at whatever time they get done with it, I mean, 9 o'clock would be the absolute earliest. It'd probably be more along the lines of 10, 10:30 at night. Then those people are the people who come in regionally, and there are still, even with only 100 or 120,000 people coming in, for the race or attending the race. A lot of those people are regional visitors from Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, and even points further. And if there's a night race, you'll get more of that. And you will get people staying over that extra night. You will get people coming in. I know Visit Indy, the city's marketing arm, hopes that, you know, you can kind of get back to a three-day stay where people come in for the activities. Remember, they're pumping up all this, the Grand Am series and the sports cars and Nationwide series, and they're trying to make this thing a three-day stay. So what you do is you hope to at least increase the crowd by 50%, and then you increase the nights that they stay, and that pumps in a lot of money. For every night they stay, it's not just hotel occupancy. You know, it's meals and restaurants and all those things that go along with it. And very quickly you can see where your economic impact is going back to, you know, maybe not quite where it was, but certainly it'll go up tens of millions of dollars. But, you know, Tom, the reversal in attendance has to start this year. And what I mean by that is a lot of people, a lot of hardcore race fans, and remember, the Brickyard 400 at its core is still about that, hardcore race fans. They want to know how this new car is going to perform on that track. If the racing is still no better than it was a year or two ago, then I still think you're going to have problems. If that Gen 6 car comes in here and proves that it can put on the kind of show that NASCAR did in the 90s, I think you'll see the reversal of that attendance start even before you install the lights.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you see or foresee in the future at any time, whether it be 2 years, 5 years down the road, if Gen 6 if it is actually a disappointment and does not deliver to the crowd satisfaction and they're not able to fill the seats, do you think there'll be a time, unfortunately, I don't think anybody wants to see this happen, but do you think there'll be a time where NASCAR will evaluate their relationship with Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
I think Indianapolis Motor Speedway will evaluate its relationship with NASCAR before likewise. I think Indianapolis Motor Speedway will pull the plug before NASCAR does. You know, NASCAR needs the date. It's a fabled track. They want to be here. But, you know, it seemed preposterous a few years ago to ask this question, but those profit margins on this race have come down precipitously within the last 5 to 6 years. And as Mark Miles told me earlier, everything is on the table. And that means consideration of everything. He's looking at profit and loss, you know, revenue and cost on every single thing. And if it's not at a certain level, I think that they would consider pulling the plug. That event is still profitable. But the profit margins, just like the MotoGP, the motorcycle race, the profit margins on that thing are perilously thin, perilously thin. If they don't get that thing turned around right now, it'll be done in a year or two. And so if the Brickyard 400 race continues to slip a little bit here and slide a little bit there, then very soon you'll be in the same situation, or the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will be in the same situation as it is with MotoGP. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen. And I think the Brickyard and NASCAR will do everything they can to make sure that that doesn't happen. We're not at DEFCON 5 yet, but we're most certainly headed toward DEFCON 4 on this thing.
And you bring up an interesting observance with the MotoGP. They're on their last legs with Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Is there something, you know, Doug Bowles, the new president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, said in a press release that there's going to be a lot of changes made and the entire month of May is going to change. Doug has pretty much been shouldered with the responsibility of bringing back Indianapolis Motor Speedway, more importantly, bringing it back to the profit that it once knew. Not that it's necessarily losing money or siphoning money now, but it certainly got to a point where it was used to making a lot more money than it is now. And certainly, you know, they've tried to do a couple other things like charging for the Turn 3 parking, a lot of different things there that they've had to that they've tried to do to increase revenue. And obviously, it's the race team's pay to be there. So at what point does Indianapolis Motor Speedway – did they make a good choice with Doug Bowles? Maybe that's where we're at, is because he's been around the track for a long time. And not to make the political comparison, but the same old stuff always equals to the same old stuff. And Doug was part of the same old stuff.
Well – you know, it's difficult to say. You know, Doug is an attorney. Doug's been into sports marketing. He sold sponsorships. He's run teams. He's got a very good background. But only God can make a bumblebee fly.
Sure.
And this is a difficult task. This is a difficult task. I want you to think about something for just a second, Tom. Mm-hmm. Formula One has been proven not to work at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for various reasons. MotoGP is very close to being proven not to be able to work at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. If NASCAR is the next to fall, now we have F1 can't work there, MotoGP can't work there, the best stock car series, you know, in the country, and the best motorsport series in the country can't work there. So the only thing that can work there is open wheel. I mean, is that what we're saying? So, mm-hmm. So Doug Bowles has a mountain to climb and everything on his back. He has to make NASCAR work. He has to make the Brickyard 400 work. If it doesn't, it makes a serious statement about that facility. And, you know, they say they need $120 million worth of improvements. That's a pipe dream. That track needs about $250 million worth of improvements. And everybody who goes out there on a regular basis knows it, and the sponsors know it, and the corporate entertainers know it. And so Doug has a serious mountain to climb and a serious bit of weight in his backpack. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure that Doug can do it. I'm not sure that Mark Miles can do it. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure if anyone can do it. But I do think that Doug brings a solid background. And, yes, he has been a part of the regime for a very long time. I mean, I guess you're in a kind of a catch-22 there.
Sure.
Do you go the direction of somebody like Doug Bowles or in the IndyCar Series, you know, situation where they bring in Derek Walker to be the president of the race site, or do you go by the way of Randy Bernard where you're bringing in a brand-new guy, you know, with a different viewpoint on it? You know, do you bring in somebody brand new to the track? I mean, remember, before Doug Bowles was in there, we had Joey Chitwood. Now, Joey Chitwood has left the track as president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and has gone on, and he is making a big splash with NASCAR. He is bringing in big improvements to the Daytona International Speedway. So Joey Chitwood was not lacking for credentials. It just wasn't working out at the speedway for him for whatever reason. There's a lot of hurdles. There's a lot of familial politics at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that you don't get with a lot of other commercial enterprises. I think they've brought Mark Miles in there to try to cut away some of the Holman George part of it, to break away from tradition, to think more clearly and not to think as such a traditionalist. So I think that the roadway is paved. A lot of people have wanted to do a lot of things there and have been held back by the family for a very long time. I think slowly but surely some of those barriers are being removed. And so maybe Mark Miles and maybe Doug Bowles will have unprecedented opportunities there at the track to make changes and to make these events profitable, like maybe not like they used to be. Maybe you can never go home, so to say. But to at least restore a measure of very strong profitability to those properties.
We're talking with Anthony Soto. Did I get it right?
Shutley.
Shutley. Man, I'm going to have to just spell it out there. We're talking with Anthony Shutley with the IBJ, and I told you I'd keep me to 15 to 20 minutes, and I'm a man of my word. There's so much I'd like to talk with you about. You certainly have an open invitation in the show. But one more thing, breaking news here that happened this week was IndyCar, and I'm just quoting your blog title, IndyCar leaders feeling vindicated by NASCAR's new TV deal. Obviously, ESPN is basically dropping NASCAR. NBC's picking them up and saying, we're all in, we're ready to go. And now NBC owns Versus, so NBC is really going to be raking in those advertising dollars and those huge contracts with a lot of things pertaining to racing. So who wins, who loses, or is this a win-win world for NBC, and they're just laughing all the way to the bank?
Well, remember, Tony George rode out of town with a lot of arrows in his back over that deal he made with Versus, which is now NBC Sports Network. He broke away from ESPN, or he dissolved the deal with ESPN, or that thing broke down. He went to Versus. And now he's looking a whole lot smarter. And the Speedway folks who brokered that deal and the IndyCar folks who brokered that deal are looking a whole lot smarter. With NASCAR coming over to the NBC, you know, 13 of the 20 cup races that NBC is going to air is going to be on NBC Sports Network, where IndyCar is housed. That's going to bring a lot of eyeballs to that channel. It's going to grow that channel. You know, this is really good news for the IndyCar series. I mean, I don't think it's going to bolster their ratings overnight, but starting in 2015, I do think you'll see some pretty dramatic improvement, and they need it. The sponsors want it. So I think this is a very good story. They are going to have some challenging difficulties, some scheduling difficulties there with IndyCar. They're going to have to sit down with the NBC Sports Network folks and make sure that their races don't overlap with the NASCAR Cup races because, you know, tape delay is not an option. But everybody's really quite excited about this deal. So this is good news for IndyCar Series. I don't think it's the answer to every one of their woes. One sponsor broker told me that maybe you don't, you know, this isn't the lead item with sponsors, but it's certainly a headline item with sponsors and potential sponsors for the IndyCar Series.
All right, Andy, we appreciate you jumping on with us this morning here on Brickyard Weekend. I know you got to scoot. You're very busy. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you, follow you, what have you?
They can find me at IBJ.com/thescore. I'm there 3 or 4 days during the week with new posts. I also do straight-up business news each week on IBJ.com as well. So check us out both places.
All right, Anthony, we appreciate you joining us. And like I said, you always have a welcome spot here on The Balance, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks very much.
Thanks. Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
I appreciate it, buddy. I'm sorry I butchered your name there. I'll get it better next time.
No worries. I always say it's easy to say, but hard to spell. But if you look at the spelling, it's like, whoa, how do you get that? So no worries.
Well, everybody says my name's Marquis because it's spelled Marquis, but it's really Marquis, so it's all good. I appreciate the time you gave me tonight, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Hope it helps.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.